Hare Krishna. Last night we had a great Diwali dinner, which is our yearly sort of VIP dinner with State Secretary, Indian Ambassador, many people were there. It was really a wonderful event. It didn't take place here in the temple. We had a much bigger venue. And we were celebrating not only Diwali, but we were also celebrating Gita Jayanti, and we coordinated both in the sense that very often we hear about this, that Diwali is the victory of light over darkness. So what is light? Light is the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, and therefore my talk was on it was a PowerPoint presentation on whether the teachings of the Bhagavad Gita are actually relevant today. Otherwise, what is it that we're celebrating? And, of course, this question comes up not only with the Bhagavad Gita, but with any ancient scripture. Is it relevant or not? And, of course, believers or followers will naturally say, yes, of course, because they have faith. But what about for people who don't have faith? How can they be sort of convinced that this is something relevant that they should incorporate within their lives? And this was the topic of discussion, because we know that in the Mahabharata, astrological calculations of the beginning of the Mahabharata war sort of placed the speaking of the Bhagavad Gita at over 5,000 years old, that it was done over 5,000 years ago. And that's quite a long time. So the question of relevance can really be phrased in a different way. Is the Bhagavad Gita the absolute truth or not? There's absolute truth and relative truth. These are the two different types of truth. Absolute truth means that something is not dependent on time, place, circumstance. It always holds true. And relative truth is that something's true today, but because of changing circumstances, conditions, times, people, and so on, it may not be true at another time, not another place. So there are people, and I cited one Hungarian Indologist who claim that Bhagavad Gita has no real philosophical content. It's just some kind of emotional, mystical outpouring. And so his statement is that Bhagavad Gita is at best some relative truth, if truth at all. But the another quote from Henry Thoreau was something different. And he was stating that the Bhagavad Gita, yes, is absolute truth that has great, great relevance to us at the present day. Indeed, our understanding of things is very, very shallow and very insignificant when compared to the perspective of the Bhagavad Gita itself. So here was one person who was saying it's not relevant, and here was someone else who's saying it is relevant. Which is it? So let's begin with some examples of absolute truths, not in the spiritual sense and in real absolute sense, but in the material world, which don't change. And one example of that is the law of gravity. 5,000 years ago, there was a law of gravity. No one's going to argue that the law of gravity in Kurukshetra is any different than the law of gravity today, or that there's a law of gravity today in India, and we're not following that law of gravity here in Hungary. We have another law of gravity. No, we don't. It doesn't work that way. We follow the same law of gravity as then. And there are so many other types of scientific truths, be they chemical, physical, or, for instance, mathematics. there is a mathematical truth that 1 and 1 is 2. And 1 and 1 is 2 was true 5,000 years ago at Kurukshetra, and it's equally true today. That hasn't changed. So this is a kind of truth that we're talking about when we're talking about Bhagavad Gita. We're not talking about a faith-based religion which depends upon, well, if you believe it, it's fine. If you don't, that's another issue. Because it's not the fact that 1 and 1 is 2 is not a issue of faith. Your religion may not believe that 1 and 1 is 2, but that's just your belief. But the fact is that 1 and 1 is 2, and it always remains the same. So 1 and 1 is 2 is about these type. Bhagavad Gita is about these type of truths that are just as relevant then, just as relevant today as they were then, excuse me. And we see Krishna himself making such a statement in the Gita. He points to the relevance of the Bhagavad Gita by citing that 120 million years ago, Imam Vivashvate Yogam Proktavam Ahamavyam, he spoke the Bhagavad Gita on a different planet to a different person, obviously at a very much a different time. And it was the same Bhagavad Gita. He spoke the same thing. So therefore, he gives the argument that yes, and now I'm telling you the same thing because it's equally relevant to you today. What are some of these basic truths, these non-changing truths that are there in the Bhagavad Gita? Well, we quoted 6 of them. I'll just quote a few, and of course all 700 verses of the Bhagavad Gita, except for perhaps some of those introductory, which are historical background, and so on, speak about the same type of practical truths that are relevant in our lives. And we started off with, guess what? Dehi nos mendita dehi. So we're getting old, boyhood, youth, old age. The body's always changing, and yet there's something that doesn't change within us. There's an observer within us that does not change. Now, and Srila Prabhupada wrote me this in a letter also, it's not that Christians can say they're not getting old. It's not that it's not just because you have some other belief. Well, I don't believe in that, but you're getting old. That's a fact. And yet there's something in you that doesn't get old. There's something in you that's observing all these changes that remains constant. What is that? That's the soul. It's the divine transcendental soul. So a basic truth which is common. It was happening then, it's happening now, it's happening to anyone, everywhere, and it will continue to happen to everyone. People will continue to get old, and they will continue to observe all of these things as they're some kind of ongoing witness within this body. And then now I'll jump to the 13th chapter, but I was going systematically there yesterday, where Krishna then says, Kshetragya Chapimam Vidhi. And so this body is therefore known as a Kshetra, and the observer is known as Kshetragya. This observation is an indication of consciousness, that the observer is conscious. The observer is conscious of what's taking place within the body. So we're conscious living entities. They were conscious 5,000 years ago, we're conscious today, and we'll be conscious in the future. And where is the consciousness? The consciousness is not coming from the body, because we see that when the body is without the observer, then there's no consciousness. The consciousness is coming from that observer. Again, absolute truths, something that doesn't change according to time, place, and circumstance. Krishna says, and now this is another reference, from the 18th chapter, acts of charity, sacrifice, and penance. They purify everyone. Great souls, humble souls, important people, not so important people, men, women, everyone becomes purified by these types of activities. Once again, a relevant and absolute statement that anyone can incorporate within their lives. So I mentioned also another three. So people can therefore see that the Bhagavad Gita is not talking about some type of faith, but it is talking about eternal truths. And now, is the application of these eternal truths relevant to our lives? Well, spiritual science. That's why we call Bhagavad Gita spiritual science, because it's not based on just some faith system. It's based on these truths. So what does science mean? Science means observation, experimentation, and draw your conclusions. So what is the observation? Observation is here in the Bhagavad Gita. Put Bhagavad Gita to practice. That becomes then the experiment. And then see, draw the conclusion. And the conclusion you will draw is that, yes, the Bhagavad Gita is relevant to my life today. So this was the presentation. And if it's relevant, then that means we can get the same benefit from Bhagavad Gita as Arjuna did 5,000 years ago. And what was that benefit? Nasto moha smriti brahma, is that he became free of illusion. We can also become completely free from all types of illusion if we take the teachings of the Bhagavad Gita to heart and put them to practice within our lives. And if we don't, then we'll go on, as Krishna describes in the 16th chapter, and that was also quoted, the conduct of demoniac people. It was quite a strong statement, but it was Krishna's statement. The demoniac people are simply base their lives on sense gratification, and therefore are full of egoism, pride. They perform all types of work that becomes destructive and that contaminates the whole world. And we see that this is what's going on. The air that we breathe, the water that we have, the entire environment, our whole lives, our minds, everything becomes contaminated because we're not living like saintly people. We're not living like godly people whose lives are based on real principles and real values. We're working on ever shifting values based on sense gratification, and we're willing to sacrifice anything in order to satisfy our senses, and we're making a mess of the world. So here is the Bhagavad Gita. This is the real light that we really need. This is the light that Diwali is talking about, and it's something that all of our guests could make benefit of. And therefore, because we have Gita Jayanti starting tomorrow, and people are sponsoring many Gitas to distribute, therefore we also invited all the guests to take a Bhagavad Gita and read it. So at the end, I was standing at the exit and I was passing out Bhagavad Gitas to all of our guests, and did a lot of books. Therefore, the program was successful. Hare Krishna.